In the book of Genesis, it says that God created man, fashioned out of the dust of the earth, breathing his nostril, breath of life. Man became a living soul. And then the Bible said God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, or come upon Adam. And he took a rib and he fashioned a woman and gave him to Adam. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. He said in that passage of scripture in the book of Genesis, "For therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two become one flesh." Our Lord repeats that over again on several different occasions in the New Testament. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two become one flesh." And that simple statement is an awesome truth. Number one, there's the awesome truth of divine purpose. The Lord said, remember this, that in the beginning God created them male and female. They were distinctive. They were unique creations, each one of them different. But they were made to complement one another. God fashioned the woman out of the man's rib. There was a divine purpose. He told them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. God had a purpose for that. He had a purpose in creating one a female and one a male. And that's perfect. That's a wonderful work of God and what God's done. Not only was there a divine purpose there in that passage, but God made in that passage of scripture and states that a very natural attraction. He said he took the man from took the woman from the man's side and formed the woman. And then he says, therefore shall a man cleave to his wife. There is a natural attraction between a male and a female. Automatically, we all think about the sexual attraction. But that's not the only reason. There is a natural affinity for a man and a woman because they were created from one to become one. Out of one man came that rib. He fashioned that woman. And so God has made the woman and the man to complement one another. There's more than just a physical, a natural, a sexual attraction. There is that natural plan that God has that woman and man come together, and together they become one. Separately, that they are not quite all they could be, but together they become one. God put it that way. God made it that way. And it's a wonderful thing that God's done. But more than just a divine purpose and more than just a natural attraction that God's put between a man and a woman, there is a biblical picture in that relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and died for it. And then he goes on and he talks about the relationship and he said, nevertheless, I speak about Christ and the church. That biblical relationship of marriage is a picture of a spiritual relationship between Christ and the church. He said, husbands, you ought to love your wives as Christ loved the church and died for it. What an awesome love that was. That he loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we're good. He loves us when we're bad. He never loves us more nor less. He loves us with an everlasting love. And God said to husbands, you're to love your wife that way. And he said to the wife, she's to be subject to her husband in all things. And that relationship between Christ and the church is to be mirrored in the physical life of a man and a woman. God put them together for that purpose. And he goes on and he says this, that they too now become one flesh. My dear friend, salvation is not you joining a church, but it's part of you becoming the body of Christ. You're added to that body when there's a birth takes place, the new birth. In order to be saved, you have to be born again. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And then you're added to that body of Christ. And what a wonderful relationship that is. What a blessing that is to know that he's there to meet every need. And God made it that way. A divine purpose that husband and wives to be together, to bless, to be blessed and to multiply. But a spiritual picture's there. There to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, his love and his forgiveness, his kindness, and his long suffering with us. And in that marital relationship, love's to be demonstrated in a unique way. No other relationship can picture that other than Christ and the church and the husband and the wife. That's God's design. Now, the question is this. Have you ever experienced that new birth? Or you're Christian? Brother Donnie shared with me the testimony, shared with you, that he was saved some time ago. And he had no idea what he would be doing today if he didn't have that peace of God in his heart that he's only had for about 2 years now since he got saved. You don't know what the phone call will mean to you Monday or before this day's over with. If I were you, I would not wait. I'd know him and live for him. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? It's not religion. It's not being a Baptist or Methodist or Assembly of God. It is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in a real personal way, that he is your Savior and Lord, that all your sins have been forgiven, and that he is your constant companion, and he made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when you go through the fire, he said, I'll go through it with you. And when you go through the flood, it'll not overflow thee. I'll be with you. And so all the good times and bad times of life, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I wonder this morning, do you know in your heart that you've been saved by the grace of God? Do you know that heaven's your home? If you know that, would you raise your hand and just thank God for it? God bless you so much. When I was visiting my uncle in the hospital this week, his daughter, my cousin Wanda, got talking about her mama, as I told you a while ago. And she said, but you know, the best thing about it is that we know that mama is in heaven and that we're going to get to see her again. If you're sitting in the company of somebody, your mama, your husband, your wife, your grandmother, and they raised their hand that they were saved, and you couldn't raise yours, you couldn't give that testimony that she gave. If you couldn't raise your hand and say, I'm saved and heaven's my home, you have a loved one in heaven, you'll never get to fellowship with them, never get to see them again. Or when they go to heaven, you won't ever get to be with them again unless you get saved. I want to say on this day, when God's been so real to me and real to you, the wonderful singing, the testimonies, and just the brief thing from the Word of God, but the Holy Ghost of God can use that. You're here this morning, you say, preacher, this is a wonderful thing to have a good family here, but it'd be a better thing to have a family in heaven forever. I want to make sure that I'll be with my loved ones who are in heaven. I want to be there with my mother, my granddaddy, my daddy, my son, my daughter. I want to make sure I'm going. And preacher, will you pray for me that I would know that I could be, and that I'd be saved? Preacher, I want to be saved. Will you pray for me right now? Will you bow your heads? While you have your heads bowed, you raise your hand and say, preacher, I really want to know that. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, I want to know heaven's my home. Would you raise your hand right up? God bless you so much. Somebody else? Across this congregation, I really want to know that heaven's my home. Heaven's my home. My dear friend, can I say to all of you who raised your hands, there's only one way to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And today he offers you salvation. There's no accident that you're here. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. Right now, would you, in a simple prayer and a belief from your heart, would you be willing to trust Christ? I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to ask you to be willing to obey him. Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus right now, I pray for our dear friends who raised their hands, that they were not sure they were saved and they wanted to know 100% sure that they were saved. And Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit of God, to make it real to them. You came to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God, I wish that I could save every one of them. I wish I could give to every man, woman, boy, and girl that assurance, but only you can do that. And God, right now, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would deal with their heart. Now, while we continue an attitude of prayer, right now, right where you are, would you be willing to receive him? Maybe you did or you did not raise your hand, but would you call on him right now and pray from your heart this simple prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died to save sinners. You died to save me. I'm glad that you're resurrected, you're alive. Lord, come in my heart and save me right now. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I believe you died for me, and I receive you now as my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me right now. Now, friend, the Bible said you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So if you believe with your heart, I'm going to ask you to make sure you confess that to somebody. I'd love to know it before you leave. This church would love to know it before you leave. But you trusted Christ today. You tell your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad. You tell somebody, and then I think you ought to make it public to some good church somewhere, and then follow the Lord and believe his baptism.